It's a small group today. Maybe they heard that I was speaking, so they stayed home. But as Andrew mentioned, Psalm 143, let's turn to that. And you'll have an outline in your bulletin for that. We are thinking of the new year coming in and what that holds for us. And I thought we could, actually a number of months ago, I asked specifically to speak on this day because I was thinking of how important it is, the new year, and the fact that we can start things afresh, especially in our relationship with the Lord. So I've called it Spiritual Resolutions for 2022. Many people make resolutions, New Year's resolutions, as you know, and you've probably done that, as I have. I kind of stopped doing that because I never get them done, you know, so it's like rather discouraging. But some people, you know, they have a New Year's resolution to lose weight or to travel somewhere or to do something about their attitude or something in their lives that they want to change and for their betterment. So it's a time of refreshment, isn't it, where we sort of go, okay, it's starting the new year, I'm going to do some things differently, do some things better or in a better way. And maybe we can think about it spiritually as well. Spiritually speaking, how am I going to change what I want to do differently this year in 2022? This is a psalm by David, written about 3,000 years ago. And it's really a prayer, one of David's prayers. So it's something from his heart talking to the Lord. And we're going to use this as a base, and then we're going to look at five resolutions to stay spiritually healthy based on this prayer of David. So we'll read it, then we'll go through the passage, and then look at these spiritual resolutions. He starts off, he says, "Hear my prayer." There it is, a prayer, O Lord. "Give ear to my supplications. Answer me in thy faithfulness, in thy righteousness. And do not enter into judgment with thy servant. For in thy sight no man living is righteous. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in dark places like those who have long been dead. Therefore my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart is appalled within me. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy doings. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch out my hands to thee. My soul longs for thee as a parched land. Selah. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide thy face from me, lest I become like those who go down to the pit. Let me hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for I trust in thee. Teach me the way in which I should walk, for to thee I lift up my soul. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I take refuge in thee. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Let the good spirit lead me on level ground. For the sake of thy name, O Lord, revive me. In thy righteousness bring my soul out of trouble, and in thy loving kindness cut off my enemies, and destroy all those who afflict my soul. For I am thy servant." May God bless his word. We'll remember 1 Samuel 16:7, I believe it is, that says David was a man after God's own heart. And David loved the Lord. I like to look at his accomplishments and how God used him rather than all of his failures. And maybe we think the same. You know, we like to think that about ourselves. We do fail, but we want people to appreciate things that we have accomplished. But David was, that was one of his shining aspects or points that he had, that he loved God. And this is his prayer. And he starts off, we'll start off with verse 1. Now on your outline, I have God's righteousness, verse 1. He says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications," or my prayer. "Answer me in thy," and two attributes of God, "thy faithfulness," and thy righteousness. Thy faithfulness and thy righteousness. And on your outline, I've got these references. The first one is Psalm 89, verse 1. It says, I will sing of the loving kindness of the Lord forever. To all generations, I will make known thy faithfulness with my mouth. The Lord is truly faithful. So, you know, he was faithful in 2021, and he'll be faithful in 2022, won't he? We can look to him, knowing that he's a great God. And then the second reference I have is Psalm 111, verse 3. Splendid and majestic is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. His righteousness, his integrity, his character goes on forever. So those are these two attributes of God that David is basing his prayer on: God's faithfulness and his righteousness. He's a faithful God. He is a righteous God. Numbers 23:19, one of my favorite verses: God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said it, and shall he not do it? Has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? God is immutable. That means he never changes. He always is faithful. He's always righteous. He never lies. If he says something, is he going to do it? Yeah, we need to have participatory preaching here. To respond. If we were in a... Louise and I, when about 1981, 82, we visited a black church in Berkeley, California. And Jonathan was just a little baby at that time. And it was rather invigorating. They respond very well. And you get kind of caught up with it. So there's this interaction. I don't expect you to do that this morning, but you know, it's kind of nice. Verse 2, the second point is our unrighteousness. You know, David says, well, you are righteous, you are faithful, but we are, or I am unrighteous, so I am not a righteous person. He says, and do not enter into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight no man living is righteous. And isn't that true? The references I have are Romans 3 and 23, Isaiah 53, 6. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isaiah 53, 6, remember that one? All we like sheep have gone astray, but the Lord has laid on upon him the iniquity of us all. So we're unrighteous, but God is the one that is righteous. Verses 3 and 4, our discouragement. In 2021, how many of us got a little bit discouraged at times? You know, if we're honest, did we get discouraged sometimes? Yeah. You know, with the COVID, with all the drama surrounding that, and the mask thing, and the vaccination thing, and then canceled trips, and then health issues. You know, I think of in our chapel here, I was just asking Grace about her wrist, broke her wrist. People got sick. Alan had his knee replacements, which didn't quite work out. You know, I think a number of I could go on. You know, we all had some issues or family issues. They were sick or had health problems, other problems. So we get discouraged. He says here, for the enemy has persecuted my soul. And we could take that spiritually in the fact that Satan persecutes our souls. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in dark places like those who have long been dead. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart is appalled within me. And David was feeling this discouragement. I was once a number of years ago, I was reading a book and the author said that the anvil, Satan's best tool is discouragement. And that's the anvil that he uses. And he kind of beats us on this anvil. You know, if he can get us discouraged, he can win, right? And it's easy to get discouraged. There's so many things that go on that really get us down. I mean, I just named a few, but just the big ones like the health issues, financial issues, family issues, work issues. We all know about it, you know, and we've all experienced them. It's easy to get broken down. COVID, That was very discouraging, as I mentioned. So we all face these, but there is a remedy. And perhaps we can look to this in 2022 as we're starting a new year and say, you know, I'm not going to let that stuff bother me. I can get down. I can get depressed. I can get discouraged. But the Lord is in control. And look what he says. He says four separate things for a remedy in verses 5 and 6. He says, I remember, and I underline each of these verbs, I remember, so the first one, the days of old. I meditate, the second one, on all thy doings. I muse, third one, on the work of thy hands. And I stretch out, number four, my hands to thee. So the first one, David remembers, I remember the days of old. I remember, I choose, and we can choose to remember God's blessings. You know, count your blessings one by one. You know, the easy way to get out of discouragement or to go on in the new year is to remember God's blessings. We were doing that at our prayer meeting this morning. We were talking about praise items, all the different things that have happened in 2021 and how encouraging they are, these blessings that God gives us. So that's number one, a remedy for discouragement is remember God's blessing. Number two is meditate on all that he has done. I meditate on all thy doings. Wow. Just meditate on all God has done in our lives. We're so blessed over here. We think of the warm houses that we have. You know, we think of the fuel that we have to heat them. We think of the abundant food. Those of us who have been in other countries, we know what it's like. You can't get food. Or it becomes so expensive that you really can't afford it. John was mentioning this morning about inflation in Turkey. What's the inflation rate, John? Last month, 40 to 60%. So people, like what they could buy a month ago, they can't buy now. You know, and we're thinking basic items, fuel, food, healthcare, things like that. So we can meditate and thank God for what he has done for us and the things that he provides. The third one is I muse, and I don't know what it says in the NASB, it's muse. Other translations, it might be a different word, but a good word is ponder. I ponder or muse on the works of thy hands. It's his creation. We can ponder on it. We can think about it. We look at the mountains and realize that God created them. I was looking yesterday at the birds eating at our bird feeders, just coming and taking the seed. And it's just nice to watch them. Well, that God created them. He created the woods, the trees that we have, and the animals and so on. To get rid of discouragement, we can ponder or meditate on his creation. And then the last one, I stretch out my hands to thee, draw close to him. Draw close to him. The reference I have is James 4:8. Draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. If we draw close to God, he will draw close to us. So a remedy then for discouragement as we start the new year is remember God's blessings. Meditate on all he has done, ponder on his creation, and draw close to him. He's a great God. Verse 7 is a call to help, or call to God for help. David says in his prayer, answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, lest I become like those who go down to the pit. I think we're all in the habit of when something comes up, we go to God. We should go to him all the time, of course, but we can seek him, especially during difficult times or times of uncertainty. We can go to him. There may be turmoil all around us, but we can seek God and call to him for help. As we go on in his prayer, verse 8, a need to spend time with God. look what he says here. He says, let me hear thy loving kindness in the morning. And I circled morning in my Bible several times. For I trust in thee, teach me the way in which I should go. It's interesting that he mentions in the morning to spend, and I'm calling it spending time with God. I really feel that one of the most important things we can do in our relationship with God is have a daily devotional time. And I know some people say, well, at night I do it, you know, when I go to bed, or just before I go to bed, or that kind of thing. And that's fine, you know, I understand it. But for me, it's got to be first thing in the morning. In my particular case, I'm not trying to say this is, I'm better than anybody else in any way, but I'm at my best in the morning. My thinking diminishes by about 400%, you know, after 9 o'clock. I cannot process things. Do you ever find that yourselves? You know, it just goes downhill, doesn't it? But first thing in the morning, okay, I know you're saying you're a morning person, you're okay. But you know, somebody might say, well, I'm an evening person, but I still feel that in the morning is the best time to have that quiet time or devotional time with the Lord. And that's why he says, let me hear thy loving kindness in the morning. I believe that David spent time with the Lord every morning, no exceptions. He, when he woke, he just spent time with the Lord. You know, show me a strong Christian, and I'll tell you that that person has a daily quiet time with the Lord. Show me a weak Christian, and I'll show you that that person doesn't spend time with the Lord in the morning. It's the quiet time or devotional time. The Portuguese call it uma oração com Deus. It's a special time with God, and it's a barometer of where we are at spiritually. It indicates how we're doing. If we forget the Lord and don't spend time with Him, we're going to go downhill, right? It's absolutely essential to have this devotional time, to listen to God, to enhance our personal relationship with Him, just to check in with Him. When I was about 23 years old, 22, 23 years old, I worked in Montreal. I worked for the Montreal Star newspaper, and they had a depot system. They would dump off papers at different homes throughout districts, and the carriers would go to that home. And I did it as a boy, actually, when I was living there, pick up their papers for their route, or route, as we call it, and deliver the papers to the houses in that neighborhood. So as a boy, I would go to, I still remember the names of some of these people, the mothers that ran these depots, pick up my set of papers, and then go around and deliver them to the homes. Montreal Star, and I think there was one paper in Milwaukee that had that system, but later on, I worked for them, and I was a circulation manager of my district, and we had about 7 of us for the city, and we would check on these depots and make sure there were carriers. Every morning, we came in 11 o'clock, by the way, which was fun, and then we'd finish off around 7 o'clock. What was especially nice about this job was they gave us a car. And in 1973, I remember I had a 1973 Monte Carlo. So I was a 23-year-old with this brand new car. Man, I was, we say in Canada, the cat's meow, you know, that's the expression. Wow, where'd you get the wheels, man? You know, so, well, company car, you know. But, and we have a radio, and we correspond with people who didn't get their paper or something like that. The point I'm getting at is that every morning, between 11 and 12 o'clock, we would meet with the general manager and just touch base with him. And he would ask, well, have you got any routes down? And say, yeah, I got 2. Have you got anybody I got this guy and this guy to do it and so on. Did you have any TPCs? Those are top priority complaints. Yeah, did you take care of them? Yeah. Every morning we would do that. And all 7 of us would go into his office one at a time and check with him. And that was how they ran that newspaper and its delivery in the neighborhood. The important thing is we checked in with the manager, with the head, and he talked with us. And how are you doing? What's going on? And so on. And really, that's what we got to do with the Lord, right? We got to, isn't that right? Yeah. Check in with him every day and talk with him. He wants that relationship from us. So let me hear thy loving kindness in the morning. We need to have that quiet time, a time of prayer, a time of confession, a time of Bible reading, a time of study. For I trust in thee, teach me in the way which I should go. And I have a reference, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Most of us know that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. And what? He shall... Yeah, amen. It's absolutely essential. I can't say enough times that we have this quiet time, this devotional time with the Lord on a daily basis. Verse 9 is an assurance given. He says, deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I take refuge in thee. That's our assurance. We can trust in him. We can take our refuge. We can hide in him. You know, the world may be falling apart, but we can trust in him. We were just praying about the situation in Boulder, Colorado this morning. And many of us are probably aware of what's going on with that. I think it's up to 1,000 structures were destroyed, houses, by the fire, that wildfire that went through. So what do you do when your home is destroyed? You know, what do we do? I mean, all of us were thinking it could be here in the Bitterroot. You know, fire could go through. If you don't have a refuge, well, you're a person's in trouble when they lose everything. I remember a man in Angola who, because of the war there, had many people were displaced. And he said to me in Portuguese, he said, yeah, when I came to the city, he said, I started from zero. I started from zero. I still remember that. Imagine starting from zero. Everything you had was destroyed or taken over by somebody else. And then you end up coming somewhere else with nothing. So thankfully, we can trust in the Lord. And this man did that I knew and helped him to get going again. Then verses 10 and 11, a desire to know his will. Wow. It says, teach me to do thy will. I think all of us want to do that, don't we? We want to do his will. For thou art my God. Let thy good spirit lead me in level ground. For the sake of thy name, O Lord, revive me. In thy righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. We all want to know his will and to keep it. Really, how do you know his will? Someone once said, well, you got to be like a ship that's moving. You can't just sit there. You've got to just move, and he will guide you as you move. So we just carry on, and he will direct us in our paths. He'll show us what to do, but we have to keep going. And then finally, a way of life, verse 12. And in thy loving kindness, cut off my enemies and destroy all those who afflict my soul. And he says, for I am your servant. It's a way of life to serve others. We all need to find out ways that we can help people. Perhaps that would be a goal that we have in 2022. What can I do for others? We sometimes like to just think of ourselves. I'm speaking about me especially. You know, we're self-centered, selfish, but we need to be servants. And David was a servant of the Lord. He's our master. Adonai means master, and we're his servants. So why are we here on the earth? Well, we're to bring him glory, but we're also to serve him and do what he would like us to do. So that's Psalm 143, kind of an introductory psalm into the new year, an encouragement for us to stay close to the Lord. On the other side of your outline, I put five spiritual resolutions to stay spiritually healthy, or five resolutions to stay spiritually healthy. So, well, these are things that I think are good to keep or try to keep. And the first one is based on verse 8, is take time to seek out and meditate on God's character, attributes, and names. To know God, I think we have to understand his character and his attributes or his qualities and his names. They tell us about God. Last week I mentioned about some of his character traits and his names. And these names give away who he is. I just mentioned Adonai, which means, as I said, master. He's our master. So we look to him as master. And then the different L's, like Elhoi Israel, he's the God of Israel. That's one of his names. El Elyon. What does that mean? Anybody know? That's one of his names. El Elyon. It's in Daniel four times.
Most High God.
Amen. Thank you. Most High God. El Elyon. He's the Most High God. And then there's Elohim, which is the Creator God. That's mentioned 32 times, that name, in Genesis chapter 1. And only when we get to Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, does it change names to Jehovah. But that's the plural name for God, Elohim. He says, let us make man in our image. And then another name with El is El Olam, which means the eternal God. So you see, if we meditate on these names, like he's the Creator God, wow, all this creation. He's the eternal God. He's the Most High God. Another one is El Roy. He's the God that sees. He sees what's going on. He's not blind. He knows all of our situations and what's happening in life. Another one is El Shaddai. That means, anybody know what that name stands for? God Almighty. Amen. God Almighty. He is God Almighty. Wow. When I was growing up, I used to hear that term in a bad sense, you know, as a swear word. But it's not. It's God Almighty. He is God Almighty. He is the one true God and the only God. And then Jehovah, we mentioned that. The I Am. And so many names that we can meditate on, like Jehovah Nishi, the God, the Lord is my banner, or Jehovah Mekadishkin, the Lord who sanctifies, or Jehovah Tiskedenu, the Lord is my righteousness. We talked about these last week. Or Jehovah Sabaoth, that's the Lord is Lord of hosts, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies. You know, there are just different names that bring out his character. So I would encourage you to look up these names and take one a day and just meditate on it. Think about it. And it reveals God's character. And another thing to do is to just write down different attributes. Like we just saw two of them. He's faithful. He's righteous. And take an attribute a day and dwell on it, meditate on it. It brings you closer to God. It reveals God to us. Have a notebook. List these things. Other attributes. He's eternally supreme. He's holy. And so on. Just make a list of them as you see them in Scripture. So the first resolution, perhaps, then, is to take time to seek out and meditate on God's character, his attributes, and his names. Wow. Every day, take a different one. And then when your list is finished, just go right through it again. The second resolution would be, when discouraged, always look to God. Memorize a verse a month. I realize that as we get older, memorization takes on new challenges, right? But, you know, I think it keeps your mind sharp. When I was a young man, there was an older man, probably my age now, in another assembly or church, and he was known as the guy, the memory guy. He memorized all kinds of verses, and he kept on doing them. And his mind was sharp because he kept on memorizing verses. But there are lovely verses like Isaiah 26:3, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Or Isaiah 41:6, I can't remember it. I can't remember that verse, but just different verses that we can memorize and help us when discouraged. Just something personal, it just came to mind when Louise and I had been married about a year, and my brother, maybe it was 2 years, 3 years, my brother, younger brother got married, and it was in Quebec, and we were here. And after 3 weeks of marriage, his wife was killed in a tragic accident. She was by herself, rushing to work where somebody was sick, had been called her, and she went off the road and died. And it was very, very difficult for my brother, basically still on their honeymoon. And I remember flying back and just walking with him. And we walked together, and he was broken. I mean, he was in a valley. And what we did was we exchanged verses that we had memorized together. We'd gone through the Navigator's TMS kit, Topical Memory System. And we just spoke these verses to each other, and that seemed to help him in his despair. But it was a very hard time. But it was a testimony to how the Word of God helped him during that time. So the second one then is, when discouraged, always look to God. And the third resolution, meditate on one blessing or something to be thankful for every day. You know, we've mentioned before, Louise and I keep a book, and probably others here do too, a thank you book. And every day we write down one thing that we're thankful for. And it doesn't have to be complicated, you know. Kind of, we can write down, I enjoy the birds that eat at the bird feeder, or I enjoy the color blue, or thank you for blessing me with warmth in the winter, or whatever we want to put. And just thank Him. Just something every day to thank the Lord for. A blessing that He gives us. Just keep a journal. And the fourth resolution, maintain a consistent quiet time. I already mentioned that, so we don't have to go too much into it, but take time, carve out time. I remember Bill McDonald was just, he was mentioned, I think it was at the prayer meeting he was mentioned. He wrote commentary and believer's commentary and wrote 80 books, and he used to get up early. And I remember some people asked him, they said, well, how do you get up so early? And his response was, I get up. So, like, you're thinking, well, how did you get up? And he just looked at us and said, I just get up. He also said one time, or somebody said, I have a sign by my alarm clock which says, non-negotiable. Non-negotiable. In other words, we just get up. We have to do it in order to spend time with the Lord. If we don't, it's not going to happen, right? Right?
Yeah.
I find for myself, some number of years ago, maybe 20, 30 years ago, I decided I just need to get up earlier. So I got up, I get up an hour earlier than I used to get up. And I just focused on that. I've got to get up. If I don't get up, things happen. Like, if around 7 o'clock, I'm going to start my quiet time. The phone starts ringing. The news is, you know, people text and so on. So your day's gone, right? You got to kind of get up early and get it done early before things happen. When I was getting up much earlier, I had to beat the children before they got up, because once they got up, right, things change. So maintain a consistent quiet time in the morning before things start happening. And then finally, seek to be a servant. Mark 10:45 is one of the references that we could use. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give His life a ransom for many. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. So we need to be servants. So those five spiritual resolutions, take time to seek out and meditate on God's character, his attributes, his names. I'd say that's a really good resolution. When discouraged, it's going to happen in 2022, look to God, trusting in him. 3, meditate on one blessing or something to be thankful for every day, something that he has done for us, and think about it during the day. 4, maintain a consistent quiet time. And not to fudge on that, but we go and talk to him, spend some time with him, get our marching orders for the day. And finally, seek to be a servant of the Lord. I was thinking about that, meditating on that servant this morning, and I, again, mentioning Bill McDonald, and I repeated this, so please bear with me if you're familiar with this, but he was a man of God. I used to do his courses, his Emmaus courses as a young man, and then I had the opportunity, the reason I had the opportunity to go to California and study under him for a year. So I was so much looking forward to meeting this man of God, and I thought, what's he going to be like, and so on. And I remember the first time I met him, Jonathan was just born here in 1981 in Stevensville. He was born in Marcus Daly, but Louise stayed behind with the new baby, and I went ahead, drove a car with all our belongings in a little trailer to California, where this course took place, this year-long course. And when I got there, some guys in the course met me to help me unpack. And Bill McDonald was there too. And he was probably in his 60s, maybe 70s at that time. And I called him Mr. McDonald. He said, no, just call me Bill. I said, oh, okay. And he said, well, can I help unpack? Can I help you? And so we all said, no, we got this taken care of. You know, we were young guys then. We can just unload. I said, well, I just want to help. And then he looked at me and he said, can I make your bed for you? And I just looked at him. This man of God who'd written all these books and was traveled all over the world and was well known, he wants to make my bed? I thought, wow, I mean, I could hardly respond to him. And that was my first introduction to him. So what an encouragement. And what an encouragement to be a servant. I mean, and he wasn't trying to, you know, show off in any way. He just said, I'd like to make your bed for you. Well, may we, you know, have that servant attitude as well in 2022. All right, let's close in a word of prayer and ask the Lord to bless our year for us. Father, we thank you that you're a great God. We think of this prayer of David and how it's so applicable to us here as we enter this new year. We think of some of the things that he mentioned in the prayer, that how you are a righteous God and how we can get discouraged and how we can draw close to you when we are discouraged, how we can call on you for help, how we should be spending time with you, how we should desire to know your will, and how we can be servants as a way of life. Lord, help us to really make our lives count for you this year. Help us to follow these resolutions or other ideas that we have and really move on and be used by you to bring you glory in this new year. We ask for these things, praying in the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Just a note that next week we'll be starting our series on faith. Well, Nate started off with Enoch, but we'll be continuing it with the second one, Abraham, Lord willing, with Warren speaking. And then for the next probably 3 months or so, we'll be doing a different person every week. Person of faith in the Bible from Hebrews chapter 11. So God bless you. Have a great week.